Good morning. Good morning. How are you all this morning? Y'all good this morning? Are we good? Good. Stand, greet each other for just a moment while we can. It's been a week since we've been together. So just stand and enjoy each other's company. Well, we want to welcome each and every one of you this morning. Any new people to our service this morning? If this is your first time with us, let us know. Sherry.
Not your first time, but they haven't been here in quite a while. My parents, Dorothy and Charles.
Great. Good to have you folks with us this morning. Anyone else?
We'll introduce this man later, but him.
Great. So good to have you folks with us. There are some announcements that are in the bulletin that I'm sure that you can look at. Don't forget that it's our 25th anniversary celebration today. Sherry. Any prayer or praise reports for us this morning?
I've got a couple more
now. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Go right ahead.
Bible study time. It's been the latest Bible study for the last 2 years. You want to attempt to have two just very interesting this year. One on Monday, beginning at 1. If you're available on Monday in the afternoon, and then Tuesday at 10. Monday at 1 or Tuesday at 10, you can't go to both of them. Tuesday at 10, Gloria Joe is going to come and teach that. Many of you know Gloria, but you know Tommy's wife. She retired this year, did not go back to teaching school, and I think she taught 30 years and thought that was enough. She'd like to be in a Bible study, so a good Bible student, so I invited her. Or suggested that she teach one, and she said she would. So Tuesday at 10, and she's going to meet for an initial meeting to see the interest in the psychology of the study this Tuesday, the 13th, at 10 a.m. here at church. Tuesday at 10 a.m. here at church, the 13th, this Tuesday. Becky Leonard has taught for a couple of years on the Monday Bible study. Becky is doing something in the fairground this week, but she won't start her Bible study, or the one that she will lead is our Bible study that she will be leading after Scott's Bible study, I guess, that she will be leading. She'll meet next Monday, the 19th, at 1 p.m. Next Monday, the 19th, at 1 p.m. And I'm not sure what subject she may come together with the group to see what she wants to study. She's not there. A sign-up sheet. There's two sign-up sheets available, 1 year and one over in the gymnasium or right at the door. So you can, if you're interested, I don't think it would kick men out, but it's been on the ladies' Bible study most of the time, the last couple of years. Also, Betty is reading Sam's reading Betty. Betty said yesterday that GraceWorks needs money. The worst thing right now, GraceWorks needs money. Clothes, they've got Fred works on Monday, the Bell works on Monday, Sammy Matthews works every day this week, other Sunday. Sherry has worked every day that she could. Pete has, what do you not see?
Jackson, Mississippi tonight. We'll be there till either late Wednesday or we'll come home early Thursday morning. And we're going to go south about 60 miles of Jackson to survey some damage, to set up some work groups to go down after I come back from South America. So there's going to be... I'm sorry? If I'd known I was going to be this busy, I'd stay at work. No, it's great. It's great. I retired to do this. Yeah, it's a little more than I thought, but the Lord's blessing us. It's just, I can't begin to tell you how many blessings that we have personally gotten and this church has gotten through our mission work. But there will be plenty of opportunities to volunteer after October, because our groups do mostly construction and they're not ready to do construction yet. When they get things cleaned up and everything, they'll be ready for some people to come out, come down and help re-roof and clean out wet drywall or whatever. So that'll be after the 2nd of October, because I'll be pretty much gone until then.
All right. Any prayer requests or any praise reports this morning? Don't forget that this is the anniversary of 9/11, and families, I'm sure, are still grieving. I think I probably would be. So we need to remember those folks today as well. Yes.
Especially
Let's pause for a moment of silence before we start and ask the Lord to bless our service today. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is responsive. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Lift up your head. Who is this? Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
Stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 81. What a wonderful Savior.
Christ has our sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed. The price is paid. What a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. My praise Him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. He cleansed my heart from all its sin. What a wonderful Savior. And now He reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. And triumph in His trying hour. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Let us bow together and pray, thinking of the wonderfulness of Jesus, our Savior. Lord, You came and shed that blood for us. That body was broken on our behalf to provide for us salvation, forgiveness, release from our sin. Lord, an entrance into Your near presence. And Lord, we just thank You this day. We thank You that Jesus did not merely save us and leave us alone to fight in the world, but that He is with us each day, each moment, to guide us, to strengthen us, to give us triumph over the temptations that come our way, the frustrations Thank you, Lord. We pray in His holy name, praying now as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
We come to a time in our service where we have our statement of faith. We've actually been studying the Apostles' Creed in our Sunday school class, and the words to it, sometimes I think we can just say the words to it, but if we really listen to the words and the meaning, it is a profound statement of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the
at the 10:15 service, we're actually going to dedicate the windows, but they're beautiful, and we are very thankful for them. It's a time in our service to confess our sins. Psalm 38:18 says, I confess my iniquity, I am troubled by my sin. There's a sample prayer there that if you would like to silently pray that, feel free to do it, or if you have your own means of word that you would like to say to the Lord during this time, let's take a moment and ask the Lord to forgive us for those things in our life that need to be forgiven. Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. And we know that He loves us and forgives us. Isn't that good?
Let's all turn in our hymnals now to hymn 563, Count Your Blessings. And let's just sing first and last stanzas. Count Your Blessings. We certainly have blessings to count.
When all my fellows we are tempted soft, when we are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, whether great or small. blessings angels will attend. Help and comfort give me to your journey's end. Count your blessings, bring them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, make them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
We do know that it is not First Sunday, and it's uncommon to have communion on the second Sunday in this church, but there's nothing to prevent it. The planning committee for the celebration today asked that we have or celebrate, is a better way to say it, celebrate this sacrament of Holy Communion today, remembering the great blessing of eternal life, salvation, eternal life, provided through Christ's sacrificial death that is exemplified or remembered through the sacrament, the bread, the broken body, the fruit of the vine, the blood. If Sam will come, Steve will come, Roger, if you'll come, and David, if you'll come and give assistance at the table. Reading from the Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 22. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." You're invited to drink. You're invited to eat. All of you who trust in Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. All of you who have received that great blessing of salvation. Please eat and drink, remembering His sacrifice for you. And again today we ask that as you're being served, that you allow the person preceding you to serve you, and then you, in turn, please serve your neighbor. Hold the plate, hold the cup container, until they can eat and drink from your hands. Lord God, we come today with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you for this bread. Thank you for the bread that sustains us each day. But thank you for the bread of life, eternal life, Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Lord, for this cup, for the fruit of the vine, but for Jesus and Him shedding His blood, thank you. Praise be unto you, O Lord Most High.
and please serve the people.
Our offertory sentence today comes from Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Ushers, will you come forward at the time, and Sam is going to sing for us for our offertory today.
Your name, you knew my every breath. Before I found my way, you knew my every step. Before I knew everything that I need, you gave it all to me. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love than this. I never understood how wonderful love could be until I found the faith that lights every part of me. And I will give everything that I am, 'cause I have been saved. Yes, I have been saved. No greater love than this, that you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I spend a lifetime just wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love, no greater love than this, that you should lay down your life someone such as me. I spend a lifetime just wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart. And I know there can be no greater love for a sinner like me. No greater love than this.
Thank you. maybe four or five of you were here as part of this church when Brother Rudolph was minister here. So to most of you, you're going to be new to him and he's going to be new to you. And so we welcome him back. We introduce and present Reverend Allie. His nickname has been Happy. Allie Happy Rudolph. Mr. Rudolph. Reverend Rudolph. God bless you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry. Brother Larry. Father Larry. It's a pleasure to be here. Now, this morning, if you go to, any of you go to sleep, I'll understand. For two reasons. This is early. I'm not used to preaching at 8. The other is like the gentleman that went to sleep, and the preacher said to his wife, "Wake him up." She said, "You wake him up, you put him to sleep." So this morning, I come with that realization and that understanding. When I started to Bethel College, I went into Bateman's grocery one day. I hadn't been there long, and the gentleman in front of me was waiting at the meat counter. So I didn't know the butcher. He didn't know me, but he said to this fellow, "Do you know that guy behind you?" And he said, "No." Well, he said he came in there one day and said, "I'm starting college up here, and I'm just not going to be able to pay your prices. I'm just a poor preacher, and I can't afford it." And he said, "You know," I looked at him and said, "Yeah, I know. I went and heard you preach yesterday," and said, "You are a poor preacher. So don't expect too much this morning, and we'd appreciate it." So we do, Mary Catherine and I, thank you very much for the privilege to be here and share with you the 25th anniversary of the Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. As I look back, I didn't get to ask Larry this morning, but I don't know whether anyone besides Larry has spoken from this pulpit or not. But if Ronnie Pittenger has not, then I probably am the only one that spoke at the school and in the gym and here. So I feel a great part of the history. Maybe not all a good part, but at least a part of the history of this wonderful church. Maybe in some way that God has been able to use in a positive way some of our contribution. Wife and I work together. We're somewhat of a team. And I have said that when I talk to a church that wants a pastor, they say, "We want to talk to your wife." And after they meet her, they hire me to get her. So I'm glad.
Amen.
That's the first amen. I maybe appreciate it. But really and truly, we feel a great love for the church, and our heart is thrilled as we see what God is doing here in this church. I didn't say what you are doing. I said what God is doing. Because without God, you would do nothing. So we leave all of that, our contribution, to that one true and just judge. Now there are many stories that I could tell, and most of them are true, but there are many personalities that I could relate to. But yet we come this morning because of one holy and righteous presence. And it's found, and we find in John 3rd chapter, the verses 16 through 18, relating to that one person. It's one that you find throughout the Scripture, from beginning to the end. In fact, the third word in the Scripture applies to this person. It's an ever-abiding presence, a power, a love, a mercy, and a grace. And it reads like this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not condemned, because he has not believed. He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is a judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Then we find in Joshua 3:9, "Come, hear, and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know the living God is among you." There's a difference in knowing about the living God and knowing the living God that is certainly among us. In the fifth verse, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow." And this is what I feel of Jenkins Church. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. I see the Lord doing this. I see the Lord at work doing amazing things. But it is only the beginning. You have not yet arrived. And so I have come today not to tell stories, not to glory in what you're doing, but I come today to preach Jesus Christ crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, and forevermore alive. I want to emphasize that. Forevermore alive as the head of the church, forevermore. No other shall ever take his glorious place. I don't care how many statues, how many symbols that there might exist in mankind's religion. Nothing will take the place of the living, glorified Lord God. Because he is the center of all the church is, and all the church does, and all the church will ever do. So I come this morning from the depths of my heart to say, we have a living person religion. A living person religion. Not a monument to be remembered by one prophet of old, but we have a living person religion, and nothing shall ever overcome it. We have a lot of competition in the church. We have a lot of enemies trying to destroy the church. But bless your heart this morning, we have a living person religion that nothing shall ever overcome it. So we must continue this morning to ask ourselves, in all that we do and all we think and all we say, who is Jesus Christ? I think today we have a problem of all of this overshadowing the center of our spiritual life, and that is of our living Christ. And then we were to apply this to our lives, answering the question in every area of our life, not just of Sunday morning worship, not just a prayer time at breakfast, but every area of our life, our labor, our school, our relationships, applying the living Christ. Who is he in these relationships? And so it goes in our life, so it goes within the church. So first this morning, where's that clock you was talking about, Larry? It's not even on. He told me I was supposed to stop at 9 o'clock, and he won't even tell me when 9 o'clock is. So I guess we'll just... might be like the old boy that during the church service got long. He got up and started out. Preacher said, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to go get a haircut." He said, "Why didn't you get it before church?" He said, "I didn't need it then." So we don't want to get in that shape, do we? So first of all, we must know him. Now this is important. We must know him as a living person in all creation. We must know him as a living person. There's a lot of debates and argument about creation, and certainly some deny it. But we as Christian people know there is a living person in creation. And the great Apostle John, who Jesus found so easy to love, that he hit the cross as he was hanging there in the last few moments, he looked at John and said, "John, this is your mother, and the mother, this is your son." He loved John so much, and John was so easy to be loved, that he entrusted another to him. And so John said of Jesus, "Who is Jesus Christ?" John said, "He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. He was God." Who is Jesus Christ? He is eternal. An eternal living being that was before anything else. He is now and He shall ever be. What did He say about the creation? He said that all things through Him were created. All things were made through Him. Nothing was made that He did not make. It is important this morning that you and I look at this great vast creation, the beauties of the heavens and the stars, and man trying to use wisdom to penetrate the outer space and into the bottom of the sea, searching, trying to understand. We look at each other and think what differences there are in us, and they separate us. But God made it all. We say, "My husband, my wife, my child, my this," which is not so. They're all God's. We are enjoying that relationship for a period of time. So if they're all God's, we should respect, adore, have compassion for our mates, our children, and for others. Think this morning, what we're talking about includes all. How vast. How much. In our society, it's getting so that man likes to take credit. He likes to say, "and glory within himself." But there's a story told about scientists. And scientists are intelligent people. They're making great many discoveries, doing great things. This scientist thought he was so smart. He challenged God to make a man. He said, "God, I can make a man same as you can make a man." And God took the challenge. The scientist reached down for a handful of dirt. The Lord said, "Get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. You're not that smart. I made the dirt. You make your own dirt." Secondly, Jesus Christ is a living person in the church. The church, we have buildings that are symbols. We have programs and we have activities. We have developments. But the church is truly more than that. The church is a living organism. A living organism that has a nature to serve, that has a nature to minister, has a nature to grow, which results in constant change. Everything that God created with life in it has a nature to grow. Church is one thing God created with a nature to grow. And if it does not grow, it's like a tree that's diseased. There's something wrong with it. And certainly God has, if Jesus Christ lives in the church for it to grow. It is not barely something that can be saw by sight. The church is faith. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And He instituted the church when Peter made his confession. Now I know there's many interpretations of this, but to me I solidly believe that when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," his confession was a confession of faith. And I strongly believe that what Jesus was talking about, He's building His church upon faith. Your faith is what develops the church. Your faith is what causes outreach. Your faith is what caused ministry. Your faith is what caused the gospel to be preached and sinners to be saved. And certainly this morning He went on to say, which is assuring to the church. I know there's a great concern about the dropping in attendance and all of this, but Jesus Christ, the living person within the church, said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, it's fighting. It's getting a lot of battles won. But it's not winning the war. We're not called this morning We're not called to build the church. You and I are not called to build His church. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, you go out and build my church. He didn't tell Larry, you come to Matt Jenkins and build my church. He said, I will build my church. Jesus Christ Himself is going to build it. How does He do it? He gives people like you and I gifts of faith. He gives us the gifts of faith. And He develops ministry. He develops caring. He develops loving. He develops working. He develops serving through committed believers. Not half-hearted souls, but through committed believers. He is present. He sustains and preserves her people as His witness in the community. Years ago, I used to pray at the hospital beside the bed, Lord, come and be with this patient. I didn't know what I was talking about. He was already there. He's ever present. There needs to be the awareness of His presence. This morning He is present. And it's your problem if you're not aware of that presence. He is present this morning to sustain us. He who is powerful is ever so personally present within His church that all things are possible through her. Jesus Christ never has and never will set limits on church eternal internal development. Jesus Christ has never set a limit on the internal development of Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And as that internal development will result in unlimited outreach, bringing glory to God. Nothing is impossible through the church reacting in faith because God brings the results. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is the living person in the salvation of the lost. Jesus Christ is the living person in the salvation of the lost. The church cannot save a soul. Your pastor cannot save a soul. Jesus Christ is a living person. He has commissioned the church. The church cannot save. But Jesus Christ commissioned the church to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel, to baptize, to sow the seed, cultivate and water. And He said, I will bring the harvest. I will bring the harvest. Every one of us as a born again child of God has been endowed with a commission as a part of Christ building His church. John put it in this perspective, John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ alone can deal with the sin problem. Why? Because sin is against God. Sin is against God. And only God can forgive. He alone has the power to forgive sin. And it was for that purpose He came into the world. Don't forget, He is personally active within the church, helping her perform her role in bringing the world to salvation. If I didn't believe that this morning, I would not be standing here. And if I was standing here not believing that, I would be the biggest hypocrite that ever walked on the face of the earth. I do not believe this morning that I am the preacher. I believe that I am an instrument of God's voice because I certainly believe God gave me this message. after Larry informed me the other day at the funeral that I was going to preach today, which he said that at General Assembly he told me I was. But all I heard was he invited me to come. And he said, now don't forget you preached two sermons instead of one. I said, what are you talking about? So I told my wife later, I said, honey, what am I going to preach? She said, usual sermon that you preached when you was there because nobody heard it anyway. One thing about God, He knows what a minister needs, and He gives him a wife that brings him down in humility. She hadn't accomplished that yet, but she's working on it. Certainly this morning, Christ alone can deal with that sin problem. And we've got to realize that if anybody's saved, Jesus Christ is going to do it. But He's calling on us to preach. He's calling on us to teach. He's calling on us to be the example. Fourthly, Jesus Christ is the living person affording the hope of resurrection. You take out the resurrection, you've lost it all. There's the difference in Christianity and all the others. We have a living person in a religion. Every human being that ever comes forth from the womb is going to die. In the last few months, we've had a three-month-old baby connected to our church that died from meningitis. In our own denomination, we had a 69-year-old young minister, a minister, that Larry and I talked to on Friday, and Sunday morning he was dead. We had a 95-year-old, a member of our church who had not been a member too long, that passed away. Death is a certainty. Physical death, a reality. Only Jesus Christ presents a hope for mankind. Only Jesus Christ is a living person that can see us through death itself. He said to Martha and to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. How wonderful it is. I am the resurrection and the life. Then he adds this, these beautiful words, though he be dead, so shall he live. What a message the Christian church has. What a responsibility we have. Did you ever stop to think of all the great institutions that's training our young people and others? All the places we labor and work provide for our families. All the great medical facilities that minister to our bodies. The church is the only institution that has the message of eternal life. All these others minister to the physical body, and the time is coming when no longer do they contribute to our being. But Jesus Christ is the living person within the resurrection hope. So you and I this morning, what a privilege, opportunity, responsibility to share eternal hope in the community. The small church in which we're laboring with is sitting in a community of many, many unsaved young people and families. No other institution here. And this church sits there. And I try to challenge what God has called us. We are committed to bring salvation to that community. If we labor, if we serve, then God will bring the harvest. Jesus Christ this morning, who is truly the living, present Savior, went through and conquered death and the power of death. I challenge you this morning. What a treasure. What a treasure that has been entrusted to us. A treasure to share. We have not been entrusted with this because we're good, because we're not. If you were good, you wouldn't have to come this morning and pray for forgiveness. You wouldn't have to come this morning seeking greater faith if you were good. But we, as Christians, know we're not. We come to God's house because we know it's only by the grace of God that we can be anything. It has not been entrusted to us because we're worthy of it, because we don't have the deserves. Think this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any should perish. Jesus affirmed His identity. Jesus affirmed who He is. When in Matthew He said, all authority. Now this is the one in which we believe in which we have entrusted our life, in which we serve. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. The living person in creation, the living person in the church, the living person in salvation, the living person in resurrection has all authority given unto Him. Now what is He saying to us? Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. I have all the authority. That's who I am. Over everything. Now I want you to support me. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to baptize those believers. I want you to teach them. I want you to disciple them. Don't just get them saved and drop them. Disciple them. Here's the promise that He has made. This is a promise He has to you in your labor. This is a hope that He assures. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the hope that I serve with every day in discouragements and trials. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. 25 years. In another 25 years, what will be the history of the Jenkins Church? She has a living Lord, ever present, assuring her that God can do all things through those who believe, trust, serve, grow in loving Him with all their hearts and minds and soul. My prayer for the church, for you ever to remain faithful to the calling that God has given you, whereby God can say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now make you master over many. Come and share in the Master's happiness. Beloved, this morning, any time Jesus Christ is preached, any time He is taught, any time that people pray to Him, there is the assurance of needs of decision. We cannot hear Jesus' message. We cannot hear and feel the Holy Spirit's teachings without being challenged to a greater Christian life. Or if we have not been born again, we cannot but be challenged for decision. So this morning as we sing, Whosoever Will, no greater message is given to us than that whosoever will may come. So I'm sure this morning that there are those here that in some way God's Holy Spirit has touched you. The living Jesus has said, what are you doing with your life? Who do you say that I am in all that you do? Do you say by your life, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior? You can't say it unless He is. And so you have never better opportunity this morning than in God's house. As your pastor stands here, come forth. If God is, and God is speaking to every one of us because He's here. We can shut Him out, we can quench His spirit, we can turn Him off, but He's still here. He's seeking for us to a greater commitment to growing our faith and knowledge. And while the pastor stands here this morning, if you're willing to come forward and express that decision that you're making now, would you do it as we stand and sing this number in the insert? If you're willing to make that public commitment this morning, maybe join the church, rededicate your life. But you're dealing with a decision this morning because you cannot hear the Word of God. You cannot sit in the presence of a living God without making a decision of some nature. Brother Larry.
All the world around, till the joyful music rings out. Thank you.